part of you that has some kind of reality after death. When the body goes, the soul is there. Many definitions, I suspect, would be in that direction. And as if the commandment is easy. Love God with something you can't control anyway. You can't touch your soul, you can't feel it, you can't look in the mirror and see it. You can afford to love God with that kind of... Soul has its closest English translation in the word personality. To love God with all of your nephesh is to love God with your total personality. All that makes you, you. Uniquely you. Me, me. When I was young, that took in my youth. And when I'm aged, it will take in my years. I'm a man, it takes in my sexuality. You are a woman, it takes in your sexuality. You're healthy, it takes in your health. You're sick, it takes in your sickness. Each one of us, unique as the snowflakes, are to offer our personalities in anthems of love to the Creator. Not some remote part, undefinable part, but everything about you that you know, about me that I know, has a purpose. It's to be the vehicle of expressing love to the Creator. And how much more so, because not only has He been our Creator, but our Recreator. Love God with all of your strength. When I learned this verse in Sunday school, back in the Temple Baptist Church of Baltimore, I learned it, there was a figure flashed through my mind. To love God with all of your strength, I didn't visualize God in my mind. My focus was upon the word strength, and I had flashed through my mind Charles Atlas. And I must confess, I was no Charles Atlas then or now. But that's no excuse for me not to love God with strength. I have some strengths that Charles Atlas could never dream of. And so do you. The commandment is, take the strength that God has given us as a vehicle for love. And we're not all going to stay healthy and strong. Tragic news, recent days of loved ones who've passed away. And age and sickness, disease takes its toll, and God answers prayers for health, but sometimes death comes anyway. The commandment would include the call for love down to the very last breath of life. With whatever strength we have. Not if you are strong, but with the strength that is yours. I was reading in a history of the Holocaust. And I came across a report by one of the SS officers, a report which indicated his verbal report to his commander after he had shut the doors of the gas chamber. And he, in ridicule, said, "It sounded like a synagogue inside." The last moments of life, there were some Jews who could affirm, "Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, hear, O Israel." And they could change a gas chamber into a synagogue. We can learn from the Jews. Not just if we're strong, it's with what strength we have, with what life we have, it can be a vehicle for love unto God. First things first, the greatest commission in the context of the greatest commandment. And we've come only half far, for there's a second part which demands some consideration. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We won't have time to look at that in the moments today, except I will clue you in as to the direction I will go when I introduce it again briefly. Because of the slippery young man who wanted to test Jesus, the focus of attention in the commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, has been in the direction of, well, who's my neighbor? And Bible scholars have written to prove that our neighbor takes in everybody. But they seldom go back to the book of Deuteronomy to find out that in the original Hebrew passage, it means a relative or comrade. But even more significant is the fact that in dealing with this, the second which is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Few people have addressed themselves to the necessity for the Christian to love himself. I'm okay, you're okay, is a very Christian concept, with its roots back to the Mosaic tradition. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and too many people in the world hate themselves, can't stand themselves, have a low image of themselves. And many of these are in the Christian church. And they're there because they've been told almost to hate themselves, for they're nothing but sinners, worthy of the wrath of God, and have been given a good dose of guilt to make them feel guilty about everything that's natural. And they hate themselves. And if you hate yourself, you cannot love anybody else. And when you can't love anybody else, you're in no position to love God. And that's how the thing comes full circle, to missions. We have a task from the Creator, who has given a message made very clear in the Incarnation, in Yahweshua. Love is the key, but love of God is related to self-love. Made so clear in the message of the worship hour. Love is the message. We can love ourselves. We can love our neighbor. And we are to love God with our intellect, our personality, and whatever strength we have. This, I believe, is a biblical base for missions. Thank you for your attention, and I look forward to the following lessons when we can have a chance to elaborate on other passages and for the talk backs in which you can question, challenge, explore. I promise you I will not take any questions you have in this mission shop as being that of the Pharisee in the Gospel of Mark or the lawyer in the Gospel of Luke. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you're coming in the Spirit as recorded in the Gospel of Mark. Thank you very much. Thank you.